discovered soon after Erwin Schrödinger published his latest wave equation in 1956, almost exactly 100 years ago. Soon after it was published, solutions were discovered where a particle could penetrate a classically impenetrable barrier. So to the left here, you see that it's exemplified by a ball and a little boy throwing a classical ball to always out of bed. However, quantum mechanical particles can sometimes appear on the other side of this classically impenetrable. And it is as if it dug a small tunnel through the barrier. Hence the name. Soon after tunneling was discovered, it was also discovered that it's not only an astonishing theoretical equation, it also has great implications in the subatomic world. On the left, you see a big nuclei, lots of protons and neutrons, and some of the alpha decay of these nuclei explained by the fact that the alpha particle, two neutrons and two protons, is partly bound to the nucleus by a barrier. Classically, it would never ever leave the nucleus. However, due to quantum mechanical tunneling, it can appear outside of the nucleus, and thus you have radioactivity. And the fact that it's quantum mechanical tells that it's a completely random process, and also by calculating the width and the height of the barrier, you can calculate the average waiting time for this decay for the half-life. So, we understand that quantum mechanical tunneling is important in the subatomic world. However, can we observe larger systems than tunnel? This was a question raised by Nobel laureate Anthony Leggett in 1978. He suggested that it should be possible to observe something called microscopic quantum tunneling in the superconducting circuit. So how to get that? Well, in the upper picture here, you see a normal conductor. In the normal conductor, the electrons are very individual. They are fermions. They are very easily distracted. So if you push a current through this conductor, the electrons are easily distracted, and there is resistance. Thus, you always get the voltage across this. In the second picture, you see how a superconductor works. Here, the electrons take each other two and two by the hand. And then, they are much more, it's much harder to distract them. So then they can lead a current without any resistance at all. So there is current without any voltage, a supercurrent. In the lower picture, you see another example. You see also an illustration of how this works. It's actually so that all of the Cooper pairs lose their individuality altogether, and they all condense into one macroscopic state. So it's one Cooper pair condensate, which is determined by the macroscopic wave function or a superconducting Cooper pair. And you see there is a small gap between the two conductors in the lower picture, and that's the so-called Josephson gap. So in 1962, Brian Josephson predicted that even if there is a small weak link or a gap, the conductor, you can still have a
supercurrent. I think that's the same.